Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Scott Miller, a Bleacher Report, joins us. It's a big day in baseball with the Hall of Fame announcing the class. Mo Rivera, Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, and Mike Mussina are in and receiving 75% of the votes. Four were announced in the class, and we have the ballots also of Scott. How you doing, Scott?
Real good, Scott. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. So, big day. You had your ballot was Halladay, Jeff Kent, Edgar Martinez, Fred McGriff, Crime Dog. I love that one. Mike Mussina, Mo, Scott Rowland, Curt Schilling, and Omar Vizquel. What's your reaction to the four that got in and no one else, and then the Mo Rivera getting 100%, first guy ever to get 100% of the vote?
Yeah, it's a good class. I don't have any quibbles with anybody. Actually, all four guys that got in, I voted for. You've got Edgar Martinez, arguably the greatest designated hitter, at least in the top two or three greatest designated hitters of all time. You know, you've got Roy Halladay was a heck of a pitcher. Mike Mussina, I think, is deserving. And as you mentioned, probably the biggest headline out of what happened today was Mariano Rivera getting in unanimously. That's never happened before. I mean, it's in a way, I'm sort of sad to see it. I mean, that's just the devil's advocate side of me. Certainly, Mariano Rivera deserved it. He went of 425 ballots. He got all 425 votes. Greatest man ever to play his position. I mean, you could look at, center fielders, we can argue, hey, was Willie Mays better than Ken Griffey Jr.? Where did Mickey Mantle fit in? You can do that for just about every other position. But closer, it starts and ends with Mariano Rivera. And he did it for so long that I think it was stunning because, I mean, Babe Ruth he was not unanimous. Ty Cobb was not unanimous. You could go throughout history. Nobody was until today. And that's pretty cool.
I mean, it really is. What was your reaction to people that, don't believe that Mussina should be in? Now, Roy Halladay, they both got in. Halladay was like 203 wins and two Cy Youngs, and Mussina was over 270 wins or whatever. What's your reaction to people that argue that?
I think where people – I mean, I love the passion in the Hall of Fame debate. And people get riled up about this thing, I think more than any other Hall of Fame debate. I mean, this is just in the baseball world, in the 12-month calendar year, I think there's more passion shown in the Hall of Fame debate than just about any other subject in baseball. I love all that. And I think by and large, it's all healthy. And there really are very few wrong answers. In terms of, should this guy get in? You can argue yes, you can argue no. But I think the one thing, Scott, where I think people lose sight of when they're making their arguments is this. Naturally, a guy like Mussina and Halladay are going to get compared to those pitchers already in the Hall of Fame. We saw that last year. A lot of the people that didn't think Jack Morris should be in the Hall of Fame said, hey, if he goes in, that's the highest ERA of any starting pitcher in the Hall of Fame. Okay, fine, that's true. And naturally, we compare everybody to the Hall of Famers that are already in there. But the more fair comparison, and I think as voters, what we're charged with is the first thing to look at a player and say, was he one of the very greatest players of his generation? In other words, Roy Halladay and Mike Mussina, if you want to compare them to Bob Feller and Grover Cleveland Alexander, fine. But that's an apples to oranges comparison. That's not apples to apples. You have to look at Halladay, and the 203 wins is really low. I mean, you know, there was a time when you couldn't get into the Hall of Fame unless you had 300 or more wins. Well, we see in our current era where the wins are. I mean, pitchers aren't allowed to stay in games long enough to rack up anywhere close to 300 anymore. So the game's changed. You have to look at, was Roy Halladay, in the time he pitched, was he one of the greatest of his generation? And two Cy Youngs, and I think he had five or seven top five finishes in the Cy Young voting, 67 complete games. I think the question resoundingly with Halladay is, yes, he was one of the greatest starting pitchers for a good long period. That's the other thing. It can't be for 5 years. It's got to be for many years. But he was one of the greatest of his generation, and I think the same with Messina.
So, Scott Miller with us. Do you think so you voted for Schilling, and then he's still 15% away, and then Clemens and Bonds are at 59%-ish, and, you know, barring, like, how much time they have left here, three years, whatever it is, do you think it'll happen for them?
I don't think it's trending good for Bonds and Clemens right now. I think those two guys are going to have a very strong last couple years on the ballot. And you know, probably the same for Schilling. I don't know. Schilling did jump up some this year. You're right, as you noted. I voted for Schilling. This was the first year. To me, a lot of people say Schilling's a slam dunk Hall of Famer. The first half of his career was incredibly mediocre. It wasn't until the second half that he took off, and then obviously he's got a great, great resume in the postseason. So, you know, I waited a while on Schilling. I think Schilling, you know, I don't like a lot of stuff he says and does these days, you know, on social media and some of the hateful comments he's made and the political comments. I prefer – I'm not thrilled with a lot of that, but – I'm judging guys on the baseball field. I think Schilling, you know, belongs. And as you know, I don't vote Bonds and Clemens. I've always been a hardline guy on the steroid. You know, guys that either admitted steroids or tested positive for it, or where they're just buried under an avalanche of circumstantial evidence.
Right.
Like Bonds and Clemens are. I don't vote for them.
So, and I understand that we've had that conversation many times. Let me ask you about real quickly, because I want to go on to Bryce, Machado, Kimbrel, and Keiko, but real quickly, why Jeff Kent, who has he's 18%, like that guy will never get in.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. First off, very fair question. Second of all, just as we talked a minute ago, you said we've talked about Clemens and Bonds many times over the years. So we have, and as you see, I'm pretty consistent over the years in terms of I can be swayed on a particular guy. Maybe I don't vote for him the first couple of years. Then maybe because I study these guys every year. Every year the ballot comes out, and I reexamine cases. But I'm also consistent. You know, I've always felt the way I have around steroids. Also, once I vote for a guy, I keep voting for him. Jeff Kent, biggest reason offensive production, and Jeff Kent hit more home runs as a second baseman than any second baseman in history. That was a big factor to me. Now, I also think as I vote, to me, as you analyze my own ballot, I think that may be one of my weaker votes. There are some times I wish I hadn't started voting for Jeff Kent. To me, he's a very, very borderline guy. As you said, in a way, I'm glad he's only at 15% because I'm not 100% sure he should be in, obviously, from what I just said. I started voting for him, as I said, because of the more homers than ever, any second baseman ever. He's definitely a gray area guy. And, you know, 15%, I do try to be consistent. In other words, I also don't vote for guys or not vote for guys based on trying to game the system. Like I've heard, you know, some people would tell me with Kent, well, he only gets 15%, so you're wasting your vote on him. Well, you know, I don't look at, like, I'm trying to angle to get this guy in or angle to keep this guy out. I don't look at the entirety of the voting. I look at my ballot. I have one ballot in front of me. You try to do the best you can with it. You do your research. In my case, I've watched these guys play. I've covered baseball for 30 years or so. And, you know, you do the best you can with it. And from that perspective, I think, you just if you believe a guy's a Hall of Famer, in my case, I'll check the box. If I don't, I don't check the box. And it doesn't matter to me whether a guy has 1% of the vote or 99% of the votes.
It's and frankly, I said this before, it's your business. You're entitled to that vote, and most people aren't. Fans aren't. Sports talk guys aren't, for the most part. I would think there might be one or two. Tons of writers, baseball writers, are in on it. But at some point, the fans guys like me don't. It doesn't matter what we think, because they're not entitled to that world and that having that lock and key. And you have the key, and you're allowed to unlock it, and you're allowed to do whatever you want. And you are, as my favorite baseball guy, respected at the highest level of the industry. So, frankly, it's your vote, and I respect everything you've ever done on this show, or voting or otherwise. So I don't care what anybody thinks of your vote. I just wonder about it sometimes. I always ask, because I'm crazy. So let me ask you this question real quick. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, I'm really getting sick and tired of it, but it's also out of my control when they're going to make their decision. And then, so where do you think they're going to go? And then Kimbrel and Keuchel, which I guess those are the four names that I would suggest are the ones that matter the most in baseball.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I tell you what, it's pretty ominous that this is a second year in a row now where we've had just the free agent market has been cold. Ominous, I use that word because I think when the longer this kind of thing goes, the angrier the players get. You're going to start to get players versus owners again. And, you know, God knows when the current basic agreement's up after the 2020 season, they're going to be able to reach another agreement, or if there's going to be enough anger that we can have another striker lockout. We have not had one since 1995. So I don't know. But all I do know is, you know, starting about a year or two ago, everybody started looking at this winter saying, oh, my God, the free agents this winter are going to be out of control. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. And all you hear is crickets. And I don't think it's good for the game. I get it. The part of it is that no small part of it is that the game's not run like it was 15 or 20 years ago. You've got analytics, computer-oriented people running every team now. And that's fine. They can make some smarter decisions at times. But, you know, as Evan Longoria, the veteran third baseman in San Francisco, who was with Tampa Bay for a long time, he put some on social media the other day, which was interesting. He said, it seems like every day these clubs are almost inventing new analytics that devalue the players. And that's the way the players are feeling right now. I think Bryce Harper, it's pretty much the same teams we've heard. You're right. It's like hard not to yawn. Same teams we've heard for the last 3 or 4 months. You know, doesn't seem to be anybody new entering the fray late. Maybe that'll change, but I still think Bryce Harper ends up in Philadelphia. I think the Phillies think they're close to winning. They've got money to spend. They're interested. I think Manny Machado, what the Chicago White Sox have done this winter has been very interesting. I mean, Yonder Alonso, his sister is married to Manny Machado. White Sox signed him. John Jay, the outfielder, very, very close with Machado and Yonder Alonso from South Florida. White Sox brought John Jay on board. They've got, in other words, the infrastructure they've built to bring in a Machado, who obviously has been accused of being immature at times, and there's some thought that he needs some good influences around him to keep him on board. And the White Sox have done that. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done, but I think the White Sox are very serious players with Machado.
Wow, unbelievable. It's always great having you on the bench and talking about baseball, Hall of Fame voting, the free agents. Can't wait to see where these guys end up going. And then pitchers and catchers, it's before you know it, you'll be busy covering the Cactus League and everything else and Grapefruit League. So we'll be in touch, and we'll get you back on the bench, and we'll rev up the baseball season. Scott, thanks so much, and congrats on another great vote for the Hall of Fame.
Appreciate you saying that. I don't like to be on the bench many places, but I do like to be on the bench with you, Scott.
He's always waxing poetically. There he is, the great Scott Miller, a Bleacher Report on a bench this evening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.